All right. Welcome everybody to the 25th of August Aries Bifold User Group call. Just want to note the antitrust policy notice and the code of conduct. So trying to create a open and welcome space for people. So be nice to each other. Want to start with welcome and introduction. So we're glad to have everybody here. Anybody new or old who would like to introduce themselves?
Yes, hi, it's Tim Bloomfield here. I can introduce myself if this. I think I just turned my video on, but oh
Yes.
well. Oh, I see. Now it's popping up. Okay, got it. Okay, there we go. Okay. I'm a technical architect on Ontario ODS team working on digital identity program. So we are looking at this project as a potential option to help with the wallet requirements. So I just wanted to introduce myself and say that we may be in the future committing some pull requests and getting involved, obviously in a respectful and appropriate way. But you'll probably hear more of us as time goes on. So, and then we can chat in the usual channels as required.
Awesome. Awesome. Glad to have you here and welcome your contributions and support and feedback and glad to have you.
Okay, thank you.
Let me go ahead and paste the notes for this call. Feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. Start off with announcements and work updates. Anything you want to note on the Aries Framework JavaScript side of things, Tima?
Let's see. I think these are old, right? Yeah. No, I think we have the pull request from Adam is merged to fix some of the mediator stuff. So that means we now have multiple outbound transports and have everything set up so we can do mediation with Ekapai, which I think is really nice. I made an additional PR to also support multiple inbound transports, which makes it easier to also use, for example, the AFJ mediator with both WebSockets and HTTP. I think besides that, not really added in the last week. Yeah, we merged some the fix with date parsing. Yeah, and I think that's it. So not a lot, but some
Very good things.
valuable pull request merge.
The mediator is amazing. You don't have to throw away your entire wallet every time.
Yes.
You
Awesome.
enjoy the simple things. You start to enjoy the basic features if you've
Exactly.
Also, I'll throw out that we should probably be having a PR for the recipient revocation pieces here fairly shortly. We've gotten in the SDK React Native PRs emerged and everything so far. So awesome. On the agenda today,
Hey,
mostly
I
have
have James, can I? So we don't have like a list in the work progress for this, but ID Union has apparently built a working copy of the Bluetooth DIDCOM v2 transport based off of Timo's work. I don't know if he mentioned that before I joined. And they have not yet opened it up, but they plan to. They have apparently two implementations. One is .NET based and the other one is Python embedded. Neither one of those is JavaScript, but the fact that there's something that actually works, I think should ease a JavaScript implementation. So I don't know the timeline on them releasing that, but I wanted to bring that up in case someone else is, noodling that in the back of their head or needs to know the timeline there or the fact that someone has done it. So that's there. It does intend, I know they intend to open source it. They are looking at transferring that could those code bases to the diff. And so it will be open and licensed to use. That's all.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sam, do you by any chance know if they, for the .NET implementation, needed also needed to write some native code?
I have absolutely no idea.
That's great. It's a good answer. No, it's fine.
I suspect they would.
Yeah, you told me. You figured it.
I've done some work with the Bluetooth on React Native, and there are definitely libraries. There's not really a good peripheral library, so they probably suspect here there'll be a lot of native work as well for the React Native version.
Yeah, it would be cool if we could like hook into that, if that is a bit generic.
Yeah. Cool. There's definitely something there from an Ontario perspective we'd love to see, as opposed to the QR codes.
I think there's huge opportunities for even like discovery of nearby stuff that did come, et cetera. Or even if you just do a QR code that bootstraps into a Bluetooth connection, that's even better than lots of the other options that people are exploring, right? So, I'm like insanely excited about it, but also without the capacity to do anything about it directly. So I'm like cheering as loud as I can for those that are doing the work.
So one quick question is this Bluetooth low energy or a straight Bluetooth?
It's BLE, right, Timo?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, which is cool because it actually does some like service discovery stuff. And anyway, it's neat. You should be able to, in your software, scan for nearby Bluetooth devices that speak DIDCOM. So this isn't just you have to like pick some randomly horribly named Bluetooth device off of a list and then make it work. You can actually sort of pre-filter for the ones that actually speak DIDCOM already, which is awesome. And I believe, Timo, I may be speaking incorrect things here, but I believe there's not necessarily, depending on the platform, user intervention required to connect, meaning you could discover nearby Bluetooth devices, open like actually connect to them and exchange a credential before you really prompt the user with something. And that way you have verified access about which Bluetooth device you're actually talking to, rather than sort of going through a secondary user involved step to verify that you're talking to the right person. This solves the like someone stashes a phone with software on it near the travel checkpoint. And then someone randomly connects to that and starts transmitting credentials or whatever to the wrong party, right? Since it's Bluetooth, you don't really know exactly what device it is because we don't see Bluetooth signals flow between phones. And so this is a nice way of sort of verifying that identity after the Bluetooth connection is created. But I think there's a high degree of potential for sort of DIDCOM nearby, if you will, type features to enable these things.
Or you could just transmit your government identity credentials without checking who it is and just disregard user consent entirely. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, so by that, what I mean is that typically when you interact with someone on Bluetooth nature, there's going to be like an institution that is freely willing to like say, oh, hey, here's a credential that verifies that I am the institution. Right. And the person case is a little different in that, but certainly from the link up perspective, for the institution perspective, I think the workflow could be actually like stupid elegant compared to.
I completely agree. I was just making a very stupid joke, which we don't have time for. So let's go on.
I did think it was funny though.
I did like the joke, Kareem.
Thank you all. You're too kind.
Thank you, Sam, for noting that. That's awesome to hear. So for the agenda today, primary focus I had planned was on the Aries hooks and the work that we've been doing there and some of the associated PRs and discussion around that. Are there other things that we wanted to tackle or put on the agenda today?
Last time we talked about your new strategy of doing the state management. So if you could give us an update, if there is anything to update, that would be
excited.
Okay, perfect. Then cool.
Awesome. Well, let's jump in. I'm going to turn it over to Neil for a demo and presentation to run through what he's been doing there.
All right. Okay, you want me to start with the hooks, James?
Let's do the demo first, the really cool part.
Okay. So, where's my other part? So here we have our app.
In a simulator.
In a simulator, yes.
Whoa.
I already created... did and got an invitation up. So we're going to go ahead and connect. Oh my goodness. Maybe not. Maybe it's disappeared. Let's see here. Get that back on there. Ah. There it is. See if I can get this to scan. Feels like driving the Mars rover. There's so much lag.
Aries goes VR.
The joys of music.
There we go. So when we scan, we're pending for a bit until it succeeds or fails. Or just, there we go. We get our success modal, switches over. We can close that whenever we want. And then it'll just take us back to there. But then, oh. There we go. That's the thing about the simulator. I couldn't move it off the QR code. So we've got three connections now with the same person. Awesome.
We probably need to not, we need to have a time window to not repeat the same scan.
Yeah, I do. It's just 5 seconds. So if a human sits on a QR code for 5 seconds, then yeah, that'll happen, but that'll never be a problem in real life.
And I think it could be wise to send them back to the home screen after they've scanned potentially. So that it doesn't pop them back to the scan screen.
Yeah, that'll just take some more work to where we'll have to have access to the entire, like we'll have to have access to that async behavior of it working in order to trigger different successes and failures that way, if we want to do it that way. But
contact screen would make more sense, right? So the home, what? The contact screen might make more sense instead of the home screen.
But you see, we're connected to Alice over here now. Gives a nice date. It's not a UTX format, UTC format or anything. So now if we want to get a credential going, let's issue something to our, I make sure that it gets our connection here though. Connections. Oh, good. issuance. Issue. We have a ton of Aries now. See if just doing this one will work. Just takes a name and an age. So let's do me. And if we issue it and it works, or it crashes and everything breaks. Hooray. Cool. Well, there you go. There's your demo. We have a broken app. Thanks for coming.
It means your demo was successful. If it doesn't break, it's not worth checking it out.
When cool. I know, Neil, you said you were going to create a video in case the demo gods came for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think a video would be cool. I think I saw someone on Rocket Chat also requesting something like that. It would just be cool to have something online. So maybe in the repo so people know what Bifold is.
Yes, I have not done that yet though. So
that's fine.
That will be eventually for sure.
And it probably blew up because you issued it to one of the connections that was not fully completed on the mobile side. Would be my guess. So it didn't end up having the alias associated with it.
Yeah, the aliases in Toolbox can use some timestamp or something. I'm running into the problem frequently myself, and I have 15 connections with the same name. So.
See if
my approach there often is with the toolboxes, you can look at the created at and remove the everything except for the most recent that you're working with.
Smart moves.
This is 18.14.48, 18.14.22. So this one needs to go away. Boop. Okay, I think I got all of them there. Let's try it again. Cool. Well, now you get to see the authentication there. Right now, that opening screen is behind a Boolean, so it flashes a little bit, but we'll put in a splash screen that will only disappear once that Boolean is resolved. So that'll be fixed soon as well. Oh, look at that. Now it decides to pop up. So see here we have our schema name and then who it's from, which is Alice. Just I name them the date so I can keep track of them from day to day. But when we click on one of these credentials, it pops up with again the schema and who it's from and then what information is being offered. And we can accept or reject it. If we reject it, we get this really cool UI that just makes them confirm just to protect against accidental presses. But then if we just accept it, this should get our accepting credential pending screen. And then that will fade away and successfully accepted credential when it's accepted. And then when we hit close, it'll take us back to here and that credential is gone. But over here in our credentials,
This has reminded me that we need to get you a physical Android device.
Is this like I missed some updates, I think, but is this also working in the iPhone simulator, like iOS?
Not a simulator, but a physical device, yes.
Yeah, physical device still. Yeah, okay. That was why I was excited about the simulator. But, okay. Still good.
This does not want to switch tabs on us for some reason. Come on, little buddy, you can do it.
You could move on to the presentation at this point because that should trigger a notification.
Yeah. just see if we reset it real fast. If that helps. There we go. There we go. So now we have our Alice credential hanging out in our credentials tab. Hooray, hooray. Now if we go back to our home, let's get a proof going. Aries. And we request our name and our age, send that through. Right here. See if it'll update. This poor little Android is working so hard. Okay, so that one just didn't come through at all. That's strange. Let's try it again. Maybe if we just do the name and see what happens if we do that. And see that here. And it just doesn't want to come through right now for some reason. Yeah, that one doesn't want to work for us at all today. But it does work. I did it right before this and it did work. So it just pops up with the same kind of notification item. You click on it and it follows the same general workflow as a credential, just with the proof. And then we're planning on changing this tab to more of a extra menu where we'll be able to see our proofs and other things as we get more features in the app in general. Yeah.
I believe you, Neil. This happens. Cool. Nice.
But as you can see up here, we're using an Akapai mediator. So that's cool. This is the first time that's been being used, which is nice.
Is that already working for you? Which version are you using for that? Because I was running into some issues with
070. Right.
Until I think the pair that is merged just now should fix it, but I had some problems with like the I don't know. It somehow messed something up with the transport, I think, where I think it was the filtering, yeah. That or the sorting that no the filtering that didn't reassign, so it didn't filter.
I had a successful run today with the Node.js version with Ekapyth 070 as the mediator. So weirdness, as usual.
I believe that the mediator that DC is running, the public mediator, is on 060 right now. And then in terms of AFJ, it looks like it's on the most recent version here. I know what we were testing yesterday was on the branch that I have my open PR on right now that I need to fix.
Yesterday, 255 was the most recent version. I think you're behind a little bit.
Okay, maybe I just had an incorrect version. But this looks nice, Neil. I'm still like to see the full demo, maybe on video, but yeah, it's nice. I think the overhaul is looking great.
Sounds good. I will get that to everybody once I make it, for sure.
Nice, really cool.
Awesome. You wanna walk through what the actual like the hooks look like and what you've done for that package so far?
Sure. Now that I've impressed you all with my flawless demo, I will show you what makes it all possible. So this is the entirety of the Aries hooks package. I just wrote it all in one file. Keep it simple. But the default export is this agent provider function that when you get it imported into your app, you just wrap your entire app into it and you pass it your children, which is just your entire app. You pass your agent config object and then your Genesis URL. And we use all that to set up everything on its own. And then we are initializing the agent, getting all the connections, credentials, and proofs that might already exist, and all that good stuff. Then at the bottom here, we have all of our listeners that are listening, and then just adding the new connection or credential record to the credentials in the state there. Then from wherever you want in the app, you can import all of these useful hooks up here. We have three base hooks, which is just use connections, use credentials, and use proofs. And that pretty much just gets that kind of state. Each context comes with an array of the records and then a loading Boolean to help you handle the loading that way. And then you can get each type of record by an ID if you pass in the ID to this hook or by state, and that will filter down all the records based on the state that you passed. And probably the main use one is our use agent hook that just returns the agent that was initialized with the loading Boolean. But it also maintains the agent type so that as someone needs to use the agent or any of the methods on the agent, they'll be able to dig through there thanks to TypeScript that way. If you want some proof of how simple these things are to use, here is one of the components that I updated. It's our credentials list. All of this green is what it was before. And then when I changed it, it changed into this line here. So all this 45 lines of code is now hidden behind this one little hook for us. Isn't that nice?
It is. Just a quick question, like, because I am correct, this is not using Redux at all.
No.
Just React state, yeah. Are you planning to like extract this to a separate package? I see a package.json, so I guess it's already, but are you planning on, like, when this is finished, releasing this somewhere, because we cannot get consensus on where we have to release those those additional packages, but once we have, are you planning on like keeping this in Bifold or making this a separate thing?
Yeah, that's part of the RMBN discussion here, what we were actually planning on doing with it.
Cool.
We can.
I thought it would just be added.
I personally would like to see this added, or I want to get this into an NPM package, even in the state it is now, and then we iteratively add to it as we work on it. That way we can, because we're already starting to use this in multiple of our projects. So that's partially a question for Timo and I guess everybody else of where this ends up, but would like to see it as a package put somewhere.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, the only thing I'm wondering is, I'm looking at Timo for this, although I cannot see him, but I see his name, is how much sense would it make to maintain both the Redux package and this one? Because it feels like, you know, it's kind of double work. But I know Timo is using the Redux package for a few things. So do we make a choice or do we maintain both? Because I mean, this is way smaller. It's one file and the file isn't even that long. Redux has a lot more complexity, but yeah, I know Timo's working with it and wondering what your thoughts are there, Mr. Glazer.
What I would like to do is keep them both for now. I mean, the maintenance for the Redux package is very low because it's just, even though it, like, we could remove a lot, but it's not hard to maintain at the moment and we're using it. So what I would like to do is put the packages next to each other, somewhere in a repo, publish them both to NPM, just like we do with AFJ, like every merge just get published to NPM so we can use it. And then later on, I would like to take a look and see, take this one and make it work. See if I can make it work with Redux also. And then add that as an extension to this. Because I don't want to drop support for Redux completely because we're using that for some things and I like some things that it offers still.
A lot of people are using Redux.
So
do you think you could potentially plug this into Redux, like make them work together?
What we can do, like we have a use context in here and basically what that returns is the state. What we could do is we need to abstract the use context, and that should be the use context would be a state provider. And depending on whether you're using Redux or React State, that state provider returns the state that you're using. And everything else is completely the same because it just returns an object with connections in it, for example. So the initial setup will be different. So we just need to look at how we could easily do that. But I think we can create just a hook, and the hook just determines, are you using Redux? Okay, we return this. Are you using React State? We return this. And so in here, the code's completely the same. We just add one extra method that makes that abstraction. But until like I get the time to look at that and see how we can do that, I would like to keep them both.
Okay, no, if that's possible, that would be amazing. But amazing. But no, the one thing I ran into with Neil back then, but it's also because I was just not super familiar with the whole code restructure, is that, because I'm correct, right, Timo? You are in the projects, you are using the Redux package right now, you are doing everything through Redux. You're not using the agent provider or anything directly.
No, but I'm also oftentimes not using the methods from the Redux store because we often like want to add some extra functionality to it. So we create our own custom like actions and handling.
But sometimes you still do it through Redux.
Yeah, yeah. So all actions are true Redux, so we can hook into it from everywhere.
Because that's the one thing I'm doubtful about after the little playdate I and Neil had a few weeks ago was we tried to replace the thunks that he had this agent provider already in place. So we just tried to, I think the connections list, we tried to replace with the, and they, like the old implementation and the Redux implementation didn't really play nicely together. I also had a look at it a bit later. So I'm a bit wary of how it will work if we remove those thunks, like we discussed a few meetings ago, remove the unnecessary thunks and just do the state update basically. Through Redux, but then talk to the agent directly. But it just might need some more work. But anyway, that was a long blah 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 from my side. I really like this. It has a very little amount, or very little amount of lines of code, so that it looks very maintainable to me. That's nice work.
You've also added a README for this, right, Neil?
Yes. README here explains everything that's exported and exactly how to use it. I think as simple terms as I could make it.
Well, at least you have a README. I could learn from you. That's a good thing.
Awesome. Awesome. Anything else you wanted to add, Neil?
Nope, that's all I got, unless you wanted me to talk about anything else.
No, just want to tackle the, I just wanted to bring up the PRs here. The UI update was merged as of just a couple hours ago. And my apologies, Timo, for the large PR. That was somewhat my problem because these were all sequentially done. And Kareem had communicated he was going to review this, and I didn't see that he had. So I thought we were waiting on you guys to review before we could move through these. So that was my bad on that. So
I am very sorry. I forgot.
No, you did review.
I did, but like a week or 2 weeks ago, I think. But I think today I saw one PR that had 100 something files changed.
Yeah.
That was the last one probably, right?
Yeah, because they were sequentially done, you know. So my thought process was to probably close these two, and you've already given the thumbs up on this, Timo, and I requested just a couple of changes, and that probably gives us a good base after all of this to iterate on a couple of things as needed.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. That I took a quick look, not very in depth. I'm also not very familiar with this code base. So I don't have a lot of things to add.
Just to get it straight, so 71 and 72 are now both in 75, is that
correct? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
They're like along the same history essentially. So we should close these two PRs. And then Kareem, did you want to have a look at this one as well?
I could. Well, once I saw today how many files it were, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm going to, but I do trust you. So please merge.
Okay.
I'll have a look at the PR somewhere next week because I'm off the coming 2 days. So, and if I have any remarks, I'll say it in Rocket Chat or whatever. Yeah. I don't think so though.
Cool. Yeah, I feel like we should address follow-up things. Like if you have follow-up stuff, we can definitely address those with like a follow-up PR. So.
Yeah, exactly. Just get those things merged because, waiting is not a good idea.
Yep. Cool. So for to jump back to the NPM package stuff, is there a place that we actually want to do this, Timo, so we can consume this package in a more effective manner? Or what are you thinking on this angle?
What I was thinking was to remove the other package also from AFJ, just basically clone the AFJ repo, remove packages, and then use that, because I spent quite some time on the setup in that repo, and it just has like automated CI, CD, everything set up. So if we just clone that and then use it for the other packages, so we don't have to mix like these not very Erich framework JavaScript related core stuff, and make that something as an extensions. I don't know if we want to make it mobile specific or like, yeah, I'm not sure what the goal of that new repo should be, but something like that I thought would be the easiest approach to be able to have like the main Erich framework, where the core stuff goes, where the protocol stuff goes, and then we have like a separate repo where we can do things related to AFJ, but not AFJ itself.
Yep.
I agree. I was thinking myself maybe make a React Native extensions repo and a separate Node.js, like if we ever get to do a Node.js extensions repo.
Is that the way? Because we're currently working on writing a REST API wrapper around AFJ, so like with an open API, so basically like ECPI, and that also needs a place to live. So I think it would be good to have, to see, do we want to put like those packages for React Native and Node in the same, or maybe Cream? I think your suggestion to separate them may also be good.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about it now. Now I just said it is Redux, for instance, apart from the hooks, which I still have to do, isn't really specific to one of those. Like it could be used in both of them. And since we don't have too many right now, might be making more sense to just make it a mono repo for now, just AFJ extensions or something. And then if it grows, then we get to a point where we have, let's say, 5 Node.js packages, 5 or more React Native packages, then separate those out. Because I can also imagine, like, the, for instance, the BLE stuff would be a nice addition. You probably don't want it in core, but you want it as a separate package for React Native. For now, might be good to just make one repo, extensions or contrib or whatever, and go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that sounds good. Then I'll ask Rai to create the repo, and then we can move ahead, and we can always split it out later on.
Would be good to have it in Hyperledger namespace directly, indeed.
Awesome. One question I had for you, Timo, on versioning of stuff on, this was actually more AFJ specific, but it's a good time to bring it up, of one of the things that I've run into is not necessarily knowing what version. So for instance, like 2.5.3, I don't actually know what version that corresponds to in the code, because in the code right now, the package JSON, the version is 0.0.0, and we stopped doing the GitHub releases, which means tying back to at what point in history this code relates to has become challenging. I'm guessing curious on your thoughts.
I agree that I've also run into this problem. It's just a bit with how Hyperledger permissions work, is we don't always have the flexibility to, we can just push things to main. That's the basic thing. And so how we did it before is we created the release without committing, and then it looked at tags that were made to determine what the last version was, and then we determined the next version. but now we switched to Lerna for monorepo, and they have like a provide some different features in what you can do. And the only way I spent way too much time on getting something to work is having the digit you see is the commit number. So if you go to the AFJ repo, we will have something like 255 commits at the moment. And every commit is like will be a new number. So that's how we can determine what the release will need to be. We could look at creating releases, but I haven't found any good ways to do that with Lerna, that we create a release, but we don't create an actual release, because Lerna will create a commit in that case, and we can push that commit, and then the release won't be in sync with what's in the code base, and then it will have issues with that. So we need to what we need to do is we need to write a custom script for this that basically creates a release that should be doable. I just didn't get around to it yet.
But if we extract like the Redux stuff from the repo, is it still necessary to have Lerna and a monorepo going?
Yeah, because we have,
still keep core and React Native separate.
And Node.js is also in there.
Yeah, exactly. So you do want to separate those out and keep those in the. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
because that should be like, we don't want them to diverge. You don't want to
install
the core and then have like, oh, this version doesn't work with this. Like, that should just work out of the box. But what it will do is like, when we create an actual release, the idea was to, after like the revocation stuff is merged in AFJ, we create the actual first 0.1.0. And that will create a GitHub release, and that will also show, okay, what are the changes since the last release? Because we're doing such an iterative deployment strategy, that won't provide, I think, what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think it is good to keep those three things in one repo. But I think GitHub was working on some CI or like inter-repository CI stuff where you could potentially sync the version numbers.
But it's mostly about before, when we published to NPM, there was also a release created. So you could see, all right, this version on NPM is this version on GitHub, and you could see like on each commit which version was associated with it. Like, we created the GitHub tag, and so you could see, and then you could see also with releases the commit messages, so you know like, all right, I'm on this version, I'm these versions behind, and this is what changed since last, and that's now lost.
But we are using a single version strategy, right?
Yeah. But the same would be with different versions. It's just about like, how do we don't create GitHub releases anymore.
Ah, okay. I'm sorry. All right. Well, figure that out, Timo. And now you can do it.
I appreciate your efforts on the CI/CD stuff, Timo. I'm glad you recognize that there's an issue on that as well. So,
but there's only so much time you can spend on CI/CD instead of building actual things.
Yep. Awesome. Appreciate it. I think that covers everything that I wanted to cover on the hooks and on the agenda today. Are there other items that we wanted to discuss or talk about?
Well, I hope you all had a nice week, but this meeting is being recorded, so let's discuss that another time.
Awesome. Well,
cool.
Appreciate everybody for coming, and the awesome contributions and the work we're doing. So keep it up, and we will talk next time.
Yeah, and that's why nice work, everybody. Both Bifold and AFJ this time. It's cool. All right. See you next time.
I'll see you.
Thanks.